Secrets at Bletchley Park by Margaret Dickinson, read by Willow Nash. Prologue. September 1938.
I'm organising a shooting party at Bletchley Park next weekend. Care to come along?
The tall, middle-aged man with smooth, greying hair spoke casually as he packed the bowl of his pipe methodically. The younger man blinked behind owlish spectacles.
Bletchley Park? Where's that?
About 50 miles north of London, in Buckinghamshire.
A shooting party? Aren't we a bit busy with all this talk of war being imminent?
Almost as an afterthought, he added respectfully,
Sir?
The other man took a moment to answer whilst he lit his pipe and gave a few experimental puffs, sending out clouds of smoke. Then he chuckled.
Our boss has acquired a country estate with the intention of running our intelligence activity from there, should there indeed be a war.
What? He intends to move us, the whole of the government code and cipher school, out of London?
It'll be a lot safer than being here. Our capital will, sadly, be a prime target for Hitler's bombers. I doubt he'd see a country estate as being important.
Unless he got wind of what was there.
Then he mustn't, must he? It will all be very hush-hush.
You'll expect everyone who works there to sign the Official Secrets Act?
Naturally.
And what about personnel? You're going to need a lot more than we've got now.
The plan is to trawl the universities for the brightest and the best. Mathematical geniuses, expert chess players, crossword puzzle addicts. You get the idea.
What about translators?
There are a lot of bright young women amongst the debutante class in our society who have been to finishing school abroad. Some of them speak French and German fluently, I understand.
But won't they chatter?
The older man chuckled again.
They have been well brought up. They know how to conduct themselves in all sorts of situations. So the answer is no, they won't.
And this shooting party?
Oh, that's just a cover for us to check the place out, to see if we think it'll work. We'll only be there for a couple of weeks or so, but if war does come, we'll be ready. So, are you coming?
The young man's eyes sparkled.
Try keeping me away.
Part 1. Matty. Chapter 1. Sheffield, September 1929.
Don't go near her. She's got nits. And she smells. Her house is the dirtiest in our street. My mum won't let me play with the Price kids. Lets the whole neighbourhood down, my dad says.
Matty walked on, her head down as the taunts continued. School had only reopened the previous week for the autumn term. The long summer holidays had been an oasis of calm in the young girl's tormented life, but now the nightmare was beginning again. She couldn't remember a time when she had not been ridiculed and bullied by her peers. There was the usual gang of them, six or seven from her class, following her home from school. Someone pulled her plait, and Matty clenched her fists. She didn't turn round to look, but she knew it would be Daniel Spencer, the acknowledged leader of the little gang. The worst of it was that he lived at the top end of their street and always seemed to be on the lookout for her, waiting at the end of their ginnel to waylay her.
"We had games today," one of the girls said. "She's got cardboard in her shoes." "And her vest has got three holes in it," said another. "I wouldn't be seen dead in a vest like that."
"And her dad's a tea leaf."
This was from Arthur, a boy whose family had recently moved north from London. Arthur, pronounced by the boy himself as Arthur, was something of a novelty to the Sheffield schoolchildren, and his new classmates revelled in learning the Cockney rhyming slang he used. No doubt to show off in front of the newcomer, Daniel yanked her plait again, harder this time so that it pulled her head backwards. Matty felt tears smart her eyes, but she wouldn't let them see her cry. Never in a million years. She would have run, but he was still holding her hair. Something snapped inside the 10-year-old girl. She swung her right arm round in a wide arc. Her fist connected with his nose and she heard a satisfying crunch. There was a brief moment of stillness as they stared at each other before Daniel yelped, let go of her hair and put his hand to his face. Matty turned and ran. She reached the street where she lived and ran pell-mell down the road, almost to